Blog Talk Radio.
K-Classic. Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down. There's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, 'cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Oh, yes, he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out. It's only his grace. Lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, 'cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need your whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, 'cause they're always on time.
Global Network, and also the founder of The Focus Factor. I am going to introduce my co-host, Tiffany Hunter. She is the founder of The X God Made Next. Tiffany, are you there?
I am here. Happy Saturday, everybody.
Yes, yes. So go ahead, and I'm going to leave your mic open, Tiffany, and you can place yourself on mute at will. Let's go over our house rules a little bit. This is open floor, so that means everyone will have an option or a chance to speak their truth on today. We just ask that you respect each other's opinion, no bashing, no name-calling. We do not get political. We leave that for CNN and all the news channels and whatever they're doing out there. Let them do it. But over here, we are here to build. We're here to restore. We're here to encourage and empower people so they can grow and be the best version of themselves. I want to give a shout out to Bob, who is in the chat all the way from down under. And I believe it is 3 a.m. in the morning. Welcome, Bob. Welcome. Now, for those that want to call in and you have something to say, you want to contribute to the conversation, or you just have a truth, or you just want to just interject, the call-in number is 516-595-8287. So let's get started. Let's do a recap from last week. So last week we talked about having a healthy balance in relationships. And I'm just going to go over a few pointers that we talked about. And it was learning how to shift when things shift. And we kind of gave a little definition or our view of shifting. And that was a shift has to do with a mental repositioning of your mind and emotions as you get launched into your next season. So we talked about in order for you to shift with the shift, there has to be a mind change first, because we like to say we take you wherever you go. So if you still have the same mindset, even though things may shift, you're going to still have the same behaviors even in a new season. So the mind has to shift as well. We talked about good communication, and we broke down communication as being verbal, written, and the physical skills. So you can have communication verbally, you can have communication that is written down, and you can have communication that is physical. And they call those your nonverbals. And we talked about identifying the issues make those a priority and don't cover it up. So always be cognizant of the issues that you have and make your issues a priority instead of sweeping it under the cover, because that makes more problems. Another golden nugget we talked about was the magazine life in some relationships. We talked about that being a well-dressed-up lie, where you have this, people see it perfect on the outside, but inside it's just a lie inside the home, and we got in detail in that. Now, if you want to go back and listen to it, you're more than welcome to go to the website, Women of Vision Global Network, and you can download any of our shows and our conversations so you can get up to speed. And we also talked about what I call the five I's in a relationship. And one of them is, am I valued? Am I being nurtured? Am I safe? Am I loved? And am I where I want to be? And that was part of our healthy balance in relationships. So as we went on and talking, I said, well, let's talk about self-care and what does self-care really look like. Now, I have another caller in the queue, and I'm going to just ask them if they just want to stay in the queue and listen, or if they would like to interject into the conversation. So area code 301, how are you this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are? Did you have a comment, or did you want to just listen in?
I'm just listening.
Okay, well, I will place you on mute. If you just have something to say, just let me know. Okay, so let's go on. What does self-care really look like? So I was kind of pondering on this because I'm really working on self-care with myself. You know, after you go through a lot, it comes a time where you really have to reevaluate some things. So I thought about the four areas of self-care, and that's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So just listen to me, and then I'm going to open up the mic so we can have some conversation. So people think that self-care is shopping till you drop, long hot bubble baths, or having just a non-caring attitude. But real self is not talked about, nor is it taught. I don't know about you, but nobody really taught me about self-care. This is something that I just started hearing within this year. Real self-care is often a very unbeautiful thing. It is making a spreadsheet of your debts and enforcing a morning routine and cooking yourself healthy meals. It's no longer just running from one problem and calling the distraction a solution. Listen, I'm going somewhere. It is often doing the ugliest thing that you have to do, like, I don't know, sweat through a workout, or tell a toxic friend you don't want to see them anymore. It's figuring out a way to accept yourself so that you're not constantly exhausted from trying to be everything all the time, or needing to debate mandated breaks from living to basic things like, you know, drop some oil in the bathtub and turning your phone off. This is the golden nugget for me. This hit it for me. True self-care is not bath salts and chocolate cake. It's making the choice to build a life you don't need to regularly escape from. And that's off. It often takes doing something you least want to do. To me, self-care is that mirror image, really looking in the mirror, seeing what needs to be adjusted in my life so I can truly be the best version of myself. Real self-care, it often means looking your failures and disappointments square in the eye and re-strategizing. It is not satisfying or your intimate desires. It's letting go. It is choosing the new. It is disappointing some people. It is making sacrifices for others. It is living a way that other people won't, so maybe you can live in a way that other people can't. Wow, that was heavy for me. It is letting go yourself to be normal and regular. It is sometimes having, hey, I got a dirty kitchen, or deciding your ultimate goal in life isn't going to be keeping up with fake friends. It is deciding how much of anxiety comes from not actualizing your latest potential and how much comes from the way you were being trained to think before you knew what was happening. My goodness. If you find yourself having to regularly indulge in consumer self-care, it's because you're disconnected from actual self-care, which has very little to do with treating yourself and a whole lot to do with parenting yourself and making choices for long-term wellness. My goodness, I said a whole lot in a little time. Tiffany, real self-care is facing our truth, facing your truth about yourself. Self-care has to come from within, I learned, and not necessarily what I do on the outer, because self-care is making a conscious decision to look at my life holistically and breaking it down holistically, instead making my life something that's livable instead of something I have to escape from. My goodness. Come on, Bill.
Wow.
Woo. Wow.
Woo. That's a mouthful right there. And it's
Whoa.
So, you know what, when we were starting, the first thing I was thinking is, one of the things that we have to recognize is everybody's everybody's self-care is going to be different. It's not going to look the same. And the first things that I was thinking about was relaxing, of course, getting the feet done, getting the manicure, the pedicure, you know, taking myself to lunch and things like that. But you just took it to a whole nother level and opened up a whole nother arena when you just explained the other parts of things that we really don't want to deal with. I mean, to say that true self-care is a place that you don't have to escape from. We find ourselves escaping from the things that we think are really stressing us out by spending money, really, and by doing things that we think, you know, is going to satisfy that need in that moment. But you know what? Something so real that I realized yesterday is I was cleaning up my brother-in-law's apartment, and I was just cleaning it out, and I found myself mm-hmm. enjoying doing that, and I was like, this is very therapeutic for me. I got to playing the music that I listened to, and I said, this is, you know, it was just very calming and peaceful, and I was to myself, and I did not mind being to myself and using that to just think on the things that I wanted to think on, listen to the music that was just calming to me and relaxing. I just had time to really just soak up and think on my life and my goals and where I was and where I want to be, and it was very therapeutic. So this is so good, you know, just coming into a place to where you realize and like it's not just going to get your hair done. It's not just, you know, eating lunch. It's not just spending money at the nail salon, but like you said, you know, removing people and the things that you really find that's going to help you where it's real and authentic and not just a cover-up. This is so good.
Right.
So good.
Right, right. Because we run from life when we should be living life and enjoying life. And I'm talking about a place of just being. Listen to this. Self-care is no longer using your hectic and unreasonable life as a justification for self-sabotage in the form of liquor and procrastination. It is learning how to stop trying to fix yourself. It is more than just getting your nails done, taking a bubble bath, eating a piece of chocolate cake, and turning the phone off. It's really, really getting centered with self, and it starts from within. It's just a place of being. It's a place of knowing. Like the eyes that I said, am I being nurtured? Am I loved? Am I safe? Am I valued? Am I where I want to be with me? I'm not talking about anybody else. We do that for other people and relationships, but do we really know how to nurture ourselves? Sometimes we are so busy trying to fix other people, we forget to take the tools out the toolbox and fix ourselves. Come on now.
Yep.
I think Bob has something he wants to say. I'm going to open up his mic. Bob, you there?
Yeah. Good day, ladies. Another amazing topic. I'll just share how I view self-care here. In my life, and what's working really well for me. My first statement is my well-being or my self-care is my number one job. And I have needs and wants. Needs are essential, wants aren't. And then what are my needs? Well, my needs are food, clothing, shelter, nature, nurture. And it is my responsibility to meet all of those needs. And I'll just talk about nurture because I think that's probably one that gets overlooked a lot. You know, it's my job to nurture me. And one of the ways I do that is I make a conscious choice in my life that whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast and I don't feed the beast. You know, I obey my body. When my body is tired, we sleep. And when my body is awake, we play. So, yeah, it's nice to have a bubble bath, but I love being out in nature and I don't own a pair of shoes. And I love getting up early so I can hear the birds, the first bird song of the day. All these things are nurturing. And also having good boundaries is very nurturing. So you don't suffer from, you know, space invaders, people that come and want to distract you from just being centered. And the other thing I like is just noticing, hey, I'm whistling now. What am I doing? You know, if I'm whistling, I'm totally in the zone. So I notice what I'm doing that puts me in the zone and I do more of that. And this may sound funny, but I'm totally in the zone when I'm tinkering with an old engine or something. I'm totally blissed out. There's no chatter going on. So there are many ways, but again, it just comes down to my number one job is my well-being. And I'm fortunate enough to have created a life where I can really look after myself, because for 50 odd years I was living the life that other people expected of me, and that of course led to depression because I was living a lie. Anyway, I think I've said enough for now. It's a beautiful topic, and so many people avoid their own needs, don't they? You know, but there's nothing wrong with saying I've got to look after myself first, because if I don't love me, how can I love you? If I'm not wholesome, how can I be wholesome for you? You know? So, okay, I'll shut up now.
That's good, because I heard you say create the life you are happy with. And that is, I think that is so important, instead of living the life that other people expect. And I made a comment earlier that we run, some people run from life when life should be lived and it should be enjoyable. But I also like what you said when you said, my well-being is my number one job. And when I look at well-being, I look overall in a holistic way, which is the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. My well-being is my number one job before I can go out and attend to everybody else. I have to make sure that I'm okay. Yes, man, self-care, it means being the hero in your life and not the victim. It means learning how to rewire everything, what you have, until your everyday life isn't something that you need to recover from. Yeah, life shouldn't be always, you shouldn't always be in recovery mode every single day, where you're constantly recovering, because we know blows will come. But in this thing called life, if we rewire how we think or rewire our perception about what we go through and look at them as learning experiences, we won't always be in a state of recovery. Self-care, it's becoming the person you know you were meant to be, someone who knows that it's, like I said, it's not about the chocolate cake and the bubble bath. That's a way to enjoy life, not a way to escape life. Sometimes we look at as a way of escaping. I remember a commercial that put that in my head years ago, and it was where she was taking a bath and it was taking her away, and she was trying to escape. Or when the commercial where she eats a piece of chocolate and the kids are banging on the bathroom door and she's eating a piece of chocolate or the Thin Mint or whatever she's eating, and she's escaping into this world of illusions because she is avoiding the truth. She's avoiding her real world. And I don't think life is made to be avoided. I think life is made to live. And we work so hard in avoiding everything that we don't face the real truth of our lives, which means we don't face the real truth of ourselves. So we look at self-care as a way of escape. When self-care, we should be embracing things. And as we embrace these things, we deal with these things, and life becomes more enjoyable. Come on, Tiffany, because I can go on and on with this subject right here.
Yeah, because it's so real and it's so good. Yes, go, Bob.
Yeah. So many people take jobs that they hate, you know, to get a mortgage for a house that they only spend about 10% of their time in. During my life, I've, most of the time, probably about 90% of the time, every job I've had, I either enjoyed it or I consciously took that job to learn something. So like when I did my apprenticeship, some of it was good, some of it was bad, but I came out with a trade and that has stood as my bedrock throughout my life. And then there were no jobs that I wanted to do in my area, so I joined the Merchant Navy and became an engineering officer on the cruise liners for a few years. And that was an amazing time. And then I came back ashore. And I took a job for a couple of months that, you know, it paid the bills, but it wasn't where my heart was. So, you know, you have to have the courage. You know, if you're going to spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day getting paid to doing something, you might as well choose something that you like, that is nurturing for you or that you benefit from. And, and I suppose my last statement about, it is my job to complete me. Yeah. So thanks. Sorry for interrupting, Tiffany.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We always love to hear from you. I just wanted to jump in and say it's just so good that we're talking about this and just ways of being able to I think what's important is finding ways to be able to care for yourself when you are not able to, when you don't get the luxury to go out. And then when your life is so busy and so surrounded by, let's just say, family itself, being a husband, being a wife, being a mother, being a father, what are ways to, can we talk about that? How do we indulge ourselves in a self-care when monetarily it's not there, or when we're just so busy, surrounded by, you know, being that husband, being that wife, and being that mother and that father?
And that's good, because me and my husband was having this conversation last night, and, you know, and I like what Bob said, it's my job to nurture me. So what in the relationship, if you may not have the finances to go out, and your mother, your father, you know, your husband, your wife, your grandmother, whatever the thing is, and you're trying, and you're living life like everybody else, but part of the self-care, like I talked about, is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And what are some ways that you can nurture yourself while nurturing each other? Self-care sometimes just comes through the fact of sitting down and watching a funny movie together, because now you're spending time. Self-care sometimes is turning the TV off or turning the phone off and sitting down and enjoying the meal together and some conversation, because now you're building on something. That's self-care. That's taking care of self while taking care of the relationship, because now you're nurturing something. You're feeding that relationship. You're feeding yourself something other than the normal things that you're doing in life. And I think sometimes we look for the big picture in self-care when it's sometimes it's in the small things that we miss throughout the day. It's having those conversations with the people that you love, the conversations that are healthy and that bring growth and that bring maturity. That's self-care, the conversations, like Bob said, that are nurturing. And I think too long we feed the beast often in life, because there's always problems. There's always something that's going to happen, and we use those situations to distract us and derail us from what's really important. And the important thing is that now this may happen, but now I have another opportunity to turn this around and make it positive. So I think the first thing in self-care is a rewiring or a recalibration of how we think about things and how we perceive what we're going through and how we perceive our life. In order to live the best version of yourself, you have to be okay with the version of the life that you have now, and you have to have a goal that you're going to reach.
That is so good. And you know what? I think a whole lot of that was taught and to be picked up and learned as well for others throughout 2020, the whole shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
The whole taking away of what everybody is used to, and now what are you going to do? You know, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of
mm-hmm.
things did change for people and what they consider to be self-care. But when all of that is gone and taken away, then what do you have? So this is just so amazing and so, you know, such good information for people when they feel like, you know, they've hit a dead end, and just knowing that it's more to it than just that. Like you said, it's mental, it's physically, it's spiritually, it's emotionally, it's, you know, all of those things, and how you are able to cater to those things and find happiness and motivation in that without, you know, everything else when it's been taken away. So this is really good.
And I like this part where it says, it is not satisfying my intimate, immediate desires. You know, it's letting go. It's totally letting go of self, letting go of being superwoman, letting go of taking blow after blow and telling you, so, oh, I'm okay, I can take it. You know, it's choosing the new. It's choosing to put on the new mentality, the new man. It may be disappointing some people. You can't be all things to everybody. It's making sacrifices for others. you know, in a different way. It's living a way that other people won't, so maybe you can live the way that other people can't. Oh, my goodness, 706. I'm opening up your mic because I can keep going. 706. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is great. Each week gets better than the week before. Love how the foundation was laid many weeks ago, and upon it we keep building. And this is just getting to the point where anybody who tunes in, their lives will be forever changed. I just wanted to touch on briefly what Bob said, and I wanted to also acknowledge, Tiffany's excitement today. Yeah, that pulled me in, said I got to call in and participate. But, Bob was talking about the things that we need in life, you know, food, clothes, shelter, nature, and nurture. And when it comes to nature, nature is the part of us that is our genes, the things that we have inherited from our parents and other, you know, generations and things that we taught. And it is an awareness of our nature that sustains our growth. But when it comes to nurturing, time that is spent to develop us, that's the nurturing. So when we stop nurturing ourselves through self-care, we stop growing. We stay on the same level in the same place, whether we believe it or not, when we stop putting time and investment into us to develop us so that we can grow.
Wow. Mouthful. Tiffany, mouthful.
Yes. I wanted you to actually repeat that because I'm noting it.
Which part?
Yes.
As best as you could, that entire last part.
Okay. Did you want me to repeat it, Stacey?
Yes. Oh, no.
I think those people are taking notes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. So as Bob had said, food, clothes, shelter, nature, and nurture. And when it comes to nature, that's the part of us that is developed out of our genes, our DNA. It's the part of us that is inherited from our families, the things we are taught, things that are passed down through the various generations. It is our nature. When we have an awareness of our nature, that is what sustains our growth. So we take what we have and then we, you know, build on it and we grow. But nurture and self-care, it comes through time spent to develop ourselves, a skill set, something within us. The nurturing is what develops us so that we can grow. And we pretty much stay in the same place and on the same level if we fail to self-care. We don't actually grow and do anything different. The difference between nature, which is N-A-T-U-R-E, and nurture, U-R-T-U-R-E, are two letters, which is you are. So you are the difference between your nature and your nurture.
All right, now. Did you get that, Tiffany?
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Thank you, caller. Love what you're sharing. For me, nature is nurture. And I'll just give you a couple of examples that have really been impactful in my life. Every day I go out in the sunshine. And if it's raining, I go out and dance naked in the rain. And I try and swim in the ocean every day or every couple of days, because my body's absorbing the natural minerals that are in the water. And also I get the ozone, which is very good for my health and well-being. I drink rainwater because I'm not, you know, on town water supply. And between, so my own, only water supply is rainwater. So between the rainwater tank and my sink, where I do my washing up, which is outside, there's a long black plastic pipe, and that feeds into my shower. So I don't shower at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I'll take a shower at 11 o'clock. And so I turn the shower on, and it gets all that lovely hot water from within the black plastic pipe. And I shower in rainwater. Also, I do my washing up and my dishes outside, you know, in the sunshine. And I leave them to dry in the sunshine, because sunshine kills bacteria. And I haven't had a television, a TV, since 1995. But here's the one that really, really knocked me sideways. I'm 68 now, I'm going great. But every year I used to get whatever bug was going around, you know, cold, flu, mad cow disease, whatever. I just seemed to cop it every year. Until in about 2010, I consciously chose to go barefoot. I do not own a pair of shoes. And you know what? I haven't had a sniffle since then. I don't have vaccinations. I don't take pharmaceuticals. So nature, that example of, you know, going from being sick every year for 3 or 4 weeks to I don't get colds. I don't get flus. I don't get joint pains. You know, I get hangover. I get a hangover now and then, but that's my own fault. And I'll just close with, I think probably the most important statement for me is, when I did have a family and a high-pressure job, which I loved, my mind loved it. I was working in automotive research, but it was a high-pressure mm-hmm. job. And I used to come home and greet the wife and the kids and have dinner, but then I would take time out for me. I'd go into my workshop, into my garage. I was building my own replica kit car. And when Jamie was of age, he would come with me. But, you know, I had to have that hours, probably an hour a day of my time. I needed my time. And I think that's so important. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to take time out for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because as John Bradshaw mm-hmm. says, you know, how do you know what you love, what you give your time to? So if you don't give yourself any time at all, well, you don't love yourself, do you? Okay, that's enough for now.
Okay, Tiffany.
Wow. Wow. That was good. I wanted to touch base on also just talking about what we feed our body and how we nourish our body, because that's important in self-care as well. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I start paying attention to what I feed myself, and it's not just what I am feeding myself with food, but it's also what I am feeding myself with the things that I'm watching, the things that I am putting in my ear, and all of that. And I think that's very, very important. But you know, it's been proven that even the foods that we actually eat can change our mood. And I've actually, you know, been doing my own studies with that too. Like, how does this make me feel? You know, is it draining me? Am I losing my energy? Am I feeling mm-hmm. high? Am I feeling low with the different foods that we take in? So I think when we give our body, eating wise as well as what we're putting in our ears and what we're watching, plays a whole part on our self-care as well and how it makes us feel.
Mhm. Mhm. We have another caller in the queue. Caller 592, did you have a comment, question? You want to speak your truth? 513-592.
Sorry, I apologize. I just was curious. There's so many things going on in this world today, but some of us are foreign to the nature and the nurturing yourself. Where would you suggest how to start that? If you just never let go to do that type of thing.
The nature and the nurturing thing. Well, I believe that when she talked about the nature was the part that came from our parents. That is, that was inherited. It was an awareness, I'm sorry, that sustained our growth. And she talked about that. But the nurturing part was the spending time and getting developed in the skill set. Now, to me, when I say spending time and developing a skill set, and if you fail to do that, then you won't grow, then that tells me if I can't do that myself, then that means I need to tap into others that can help me get where I want to go. I'm a big advocate on mentors, those that can take you from one place to the next, those that can help you develop the skills that were placed in you from the time that you were nurtured by your parents. That thing that already exists in you, it just needs to be activated, needs to be pulled out, and needs to be nurtured so your skill set can grow. Because sometimes we do, if we miss the nurture part of our lives, it's hard to have skills in real self-care and what that really looks like. So you have to have somebody that has been there, done that, that can really tap into that to help you get from one destination to the next. And if you don't have that person in your life, I would really suggest, you know, looking into or seeking out someone that you know, and really, really giving it some thought, somebody that you know, somebody that you admire, whether it's, you know, for me, whether it's somebody up close and personal that you can touch. And sometimes my mentors are online. You know, I take a lot of classes online, those people that can help me develop my skill set in certain areas. I have different people for different skill sets that I want to develop, and I'm nurturing that thing when I'm taking classes and I'm learning. So my suggestion to you would be to seek out people or those people that you love and that you trust that can help you get from one destination to the next. And if you have to go beyond those people, then go beyond those people. Caller 706, or Tiffany, did you have any suggestions for our caller?
I did want to add something, and I wanted to use our dear friend Bob as an example. I'm sorry, this is 706. You know, Bob was talking about how he, you know, lives in a place where the natural rain provides for him. When you think of it on that level, it's like nature is not just outside but inside nature. When it comes to nature, we really don't have that big of a say-so in what is going to happen and take place, because it is, you know, God who decides when the skies are going to open and it's going to rain and it's going to provide for us. When our parents come together and they make a baby, which is us, and they, you know, produce us, and they give into us is what we are, you know, born with. That is our nature. But when it comes to nurturing, we have a choice. We have a choice, and we have a say-so in it. In nature, you don't have as much of a say-so as you do when it comes to nurture. So when it comes to nurture, because you have a say-so, you need to decide what it is that you want and what you don't want. This person that you put yourself out there to be, and we had talked about this in you know, previous shows and that, when you are no longer satisfied with the person that you are, then it's time to go back and rewrite the plan. It's time to give yourself a new vision for your life. The old vision won't work in the new season, and that's why there is a place where you don't feel content any longer with the way things were. Now you desire something more, but only you can decide what that something more is. That's when you get people to help you to bring that something more to pass, because a lot of times when we come into uncharted territories and it's new for us, we don't know how to get from point A to point B. When we get old enough in life, a little bit of, you know, pride steps in and it says, I shouldn't have to ask people how to do this. I should just know. But you won't just know, because it wasn't in your nature or in your DNA for you to just know. that's why I love what you know, Stacy said about she has mentors and some of them are online, because she realized in order for me to get from the place where I want, where I am, to the place I desire to be, I need some help. And not everybody's going to be somebody I can sit down across the table from, but this will be someone I can sit down who has gotten to the place where I desire to go. And that is a great mentor for me, because she's going to give me step-by-step instruction, or he's going to give me step-by-step instructions on how to get there. So I just wanted to, you know, share that with the caller. And it starts with you deciding what it is you want.
And caller, then that's 59. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Caller 592, did you get your, did we answer your question?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, can I respond?
Caller, hold on, Bob, just a moment. Just a moment, we got another caller.
Okay.
Caller 404, did you have a question? 513-404, did you have a question? I don't know if they hung up or not, they were in the queue. Area code 513-404, did you have a question? Okay, Bob, what did you want to say?
Yeah, just responding to the last caller, where I'm coming from, we are all Sioux, and that means, for me, sovereign, unique, and equal. And by sovereign, just means I'm my own kingdom, you know. I have my own boundaries. I have my own needs. It's all my job to meet that. And I believe everybody's on their own journey. And I know I was born into this world as a magical little baby that became a wondrous toddler, and the world was a fantastic and magical place. But then all that magic got beaten out of me. During my childhood. I had a very violent childhood, and I developed behavioral skills during that time that allowed me to survive, and I did survive. But I took those behaviors into adult life, and to reclaim the authentic me, I had to go back and heal those wounds of childhood, and that's the most powerful work I've ever done, you know, because you know, from day one, we are programmed by our schooling, the television, which is full of programs, and the way your parents treat you, and they're just dumping on you what got dumped on them. So, you know, as a counselor myself, my role was simply to provide an environment to aid the person to find their own therapy, to find what worked for them. So, and I've read loads of books, I've done loads of courses, but for me, I have found that all my answers, or all my solutions, that's two words, solutions, I have found all my solutions within my heart, because the mind is always looking for answers, but the heart already knows. So my heart is my only compass, and my inner tuition is my only guide. Okay. Shut up. That's pretty deep.
That's good. Caller 592, did you have another comment or another question? Four oh four. 706, did you have in the comment? 706,
no,
did you have another comment?
I do not at this time.
Okay. That is some awesome stuff, you know. I like the part what you said, Bob, about being programmed from day one. You know, a lot of us are products of our environment and the way we were raised, but I also believe at some point your own skills tend to kick in where you realize that the way, you know, you came up wasn't necessarily the right way, or it wasn't necessarily how it was supposed to be. And that's when true self-care kicks in, when you can go back and look at the disappointments and go back and look at the mistakes, and you're no longer running from your problems and calling them distractions, but you're finding solutions for how you approach things. Real self-care, like I said earlier, is looking within to have an outer effect. It's looking within your heart. And like Tiffany said, you know, it, even in what you eat, what you feed your body, what you feed your mind plays a role in true self-care, because I can eat a certain food that can make me feel sluggish and can take most of my mental abilities away, and therefore I'm not as focused as I should be. I don't have the stamina that I need for my day-to-day interactions with people. And even in what I hear, if I keep hearing things that feed the beast, then I'm going to have an attitude about certain things. So I have to make sure that what goes in is positive, because what comes out should be positive, because life should not be something that's avoiding. Life should be something that I am accepting and overcoming. And the true self-care, I think, is something that really needs to be taught in detail outside of telling people, you know, shop until you drop, you know, go take a hot bubble bath and it'll be okay. Well, it won't be okay because you put that attitude in that water thinking you're going to avoid everything and go away into Wonderland, you know, and the Wonderland was for Peter Pan, if I'm not mistaken, and then you bounce back to your reality. And sometimes we don't like our reality, but real self-care is, I know the truth before I got in the tub, and the truth is going to be there when I got out the tub, and I'm okay with the truth. I'm okay not always being okay. I'm okay not always being Wonder Woman, and this is a part of life, but I don't let my problems bring me down. I look at what I'm going through as learning curves. So I'm learning to nurture, and that's what we have to, that's the balance I think we have to get, you know, as we move through this life, is the nature and the nurture, and have a good balance with the nature and the nurture, learning that, okay, my nature is this, but I'm nurturing myself, I'm building myself, I'm developing my skill set. And believe me, self-care is a process. I don't necessarily think that self-care stops. I think as you grow older, as you begin to change, your needs start to change, so your self-care starts to change. And I think it's ongoing. You know, the things that were valued to me when I was 20 are not the things that I value at 40, you know, or the things that I value at 50. So as you begin to change, your self-care changes, your nurturing changes. I believe your nurturing gets more intense as you grow. It's the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. You know, the things that you thought were deep are not deep anymore. They don't, you know, it just rolls off your back like, you know, like water. And self-care, as you grow in self-care, you learn to nurture the things that are most important. I think Tiffany got some texts here. She said, letting your hair down and tying it up and dealing with it, building and developing, accepting and overcoming. I think she has some static in the background, so she can't open up her mic right now. But that's what real self-care is having the realization that we do live in this life. We will have problems. We will have things that we have to accept. We will have things that we have to overcome. And like Bob said, we don't take time in feeding the beast, but we nurture ourselves. It's your responsibility to nurture you. It's your responsibility to feed you. Tiffany, is that you? Did you open up your mic? 706, did you have a comment?
I do. I just wanted to speak very briefly to the balance of self-care. One of the, good indications to know that we need some additional self-care is when we're feeling low. It sounds like there's a lot of feedback, so I'm not certain if you can hear me or not.
I can hear you. I'm not sure whose feedback that is. Try it now.
Yes, ma'am. That's better. Thank you. So when it comes to the balance of, self-care, when things are going well, we don't think as much about self-care. But when we are feeling low and not ourselves, I always have a list of, questions that I ask myself when I'm feeling low. So those are the indications that I may need some self-care, or that, this will pass and everything will be straightened out, or that I need to handle something differently. So I have a separate set of questions when I'm feeling low versus the questions I have when I feel like things are going great to determine if I need self-care. And what self-care looks like if I'm high or if I'm low is pretty much the same to get me back balanced, because the objective is to be balanced.
It is to be balanced. Caller 404, after all you heard, do you have any questions or comments? 513-404. Did you have a question?
I don't think so at this time.
Okay. Caller area code 301, did you have any questions? Area code 301.
Not at the moment. I do enjoy.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said not at the moment, but I am enjoying the conversation.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. We got about 2 minutes left in this show. But I wanted to thank everyone for their honesty. I'm getting a lot of feedback right now. I'm just going to put some folks on mute just for a moment, just to minimize the feedback. But I want to thank everybody for their openness and honesty. And I think that one of the things that is really needed in this season is transparency about what people are feeling and what they're going through, because I really believe that people want to learn. I believe people want their skills developed. I believe they really want to minimize the stress and minimize the anxiety. So I encourage those, to keep listening in, to keep getting empowered, to keep, looking forward to be the best version of yourself, that we are here every Saturday at 1:30 here at the Focus Factor, where we try to provide a platform that is holistic, that is healthy, that is free, and you are able to speak your truth. Even if you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to say your name. You just speak your truth, because I believe everybody needs to be heard sometime. So without further ado, just wanted to say that, and please return next week. We love to hear from you. Tiffany, I'm going to open up your mic. We got about a minute left. Did you want to say goodbye to the people and everyone?
Say what?
Hey, everybody. It's been an amazing show today. I really feel like we got to do a part two of this self-care, and I'm so sorry about all the noise or feedback that came from my background. Anybody that knows me knows my daughter stays on my hip. She stuck to me like glue, so I apologize, but I enjoyed it. Looking forward to next week, and have a beautiful Saturday.
Thank you all. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, all the callers. Have a great day. Enjoy your weekend. This is Stacey Johnson and the Focus Factor.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway.